If you would, grab your Bibles, turn to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. Catch a verse there and then we'll move around a little bit. But Numbers chapter 21. If you don't know, the book of Numbers, of course, is part of the history of Israel. They've come out of Egypt in the book of Exodus, right? They make the Exodus and they make it all the way to the promised land. And just as they're getting ready to go in, right back there in Numbers chapter 13, they are too afraid to go in. So they don't make the trip into the promised land. And so after chapter 13 into chapter 14, God's judgment is that you're going to wander around until everybody over the age of 20, you're all just going to die out in the wilderness, and then I'll let you come into the promised land. Your children can have it because you didn't want to believe me. And so in Numbers chapter 21, they're kind of looping around in the what we deem the wilderness. And he says in verse number 4, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents, of course, and then we're at the spot where they make the brazen serpent, the brass serpent, and they hold that up. And look and live is where we get the phrase. And if they look, they live. And if they don't look upon that serpent, then they die. And we get that, of course. The Lord makes reference to this same thing there in John chapter 3, that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he's going to give his life, and so he's going to die at Calvary's cross, be lifted up from off the earth and pay the debt of our sins. And if you look to him, you gain salvation. And going to Jesus Christ and realizing that he died for you and that he was the price of your sin, he paid that at Calvary, and you looked at him and said, okay, all right, and you asked Jesus Christ because he died, was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He's the risen Savior, and you called upon him. And he saved you for all of eternity. But you know what's rough is that you get saved, and once you have asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you get saved and you live in this world, and it's almost like you got to the edge of the promised land. You know that heaven is yours, but we're not going there yet. There's this delay before you get entry into the promised land. And so you feel like you're kind of wandering around. Now you know that it's yours. The difference here between us and the children of Israel is we know that the entire purpose of them wandering around right here is that they'll all die in the wilderness because they disobeyed the Lord. But they are wandering around. And their answer is, would you bring us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? And sometimes in the Christian life, we're saved, we're going to heaven, we know where the final destination is for us, we know what's going to transpire. Eventually we understand, and probably sooner rather than later with the way the events are going in the world, a trumpet is going to sound and we are going to hear the Lord's proclamation for us to come up hither, and we're going to leave the face of this earth in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. And this corruptible will put on incorruption, and the mortal will put on immortality, and we'll get to see Jesus Christ, our Savior, face to face finally. And we'll step into eternity, but down here, sometimes it feels like you're wandering around, and the days get long, and we're getting to August, right? We're into August now, and summer's always busy. Right? Summer's busy and we get tired and it's a long day and we're trying to get as much done. I find that every church in the north, my friends in Canada, we all know one thing. Once the weather hits June, and you've only got until September, right? If you're gonna bank on trying to have good weather, that's all you got, right? Before that, you've got rain, or before that, the word which will not be spoken currently because Cheryl's in the room. Amen. And so, right? And then you get back, and at the opposite end, it turns into rain, or it goes into the word which will not be spoken. And so it's one or the other. So you got like this little window. And so you try to get what you can get done, get done. You do it with your house projects, and you do it with all the things. We all know, right? We're all Northerners. We know, right? And we understand. But sometimes we just get tired, and some jobs you look at and you just say, man, I don't even know how I'm going to get that done. I quit on that. We get faint, we get discouraged, we get tired. We're tired of wandering, we're trying to have problems and issues, you know, we're trying to not have these things, and it's just another thing and another thing and another, and you're like, ugh. Can't the Lord just come back already?
Amen.
And I'm all for it. Let's get out of here. Let's go home and be done with this life and be done with the things. But the trouble we have is that the Lord has His own timetable. The Lord has a timetable for the nation of Israel right here. And He's already told them what it's going to be, and they already understand that there's going to be some time here before they're going to be allowed to get to the promised land and to get there. And they need to just go ahead and serve the time that's going to be there. Be as productive with the time that they have as they can until they do make it. Be prepared to be where they're supposed to be for all of eternity. And in this life, for the Christian, He just expects us to be faithful to what He's asked us to do. Even though there may be discouragements and there may be problems and there's troubles and there's trials and there's all sorts of issues and there's all sorts of things we could complain about, in our mind, there's justifications for all of our complaints. Right? I mean, we can, you know, they're murmuring, they're complaining. We've murmured and complained. If you haven't complained about anything in your entire life since the Lord saved you, congratulations. But the rest of us humans are like, man, I don't like this and I don't like that. And Lord, you don't seem like you're being fair right there. And I don't understand how, right? We've all been there. And the Lord straightened us up and is like, come on, aren't I the greatest? And we're like, yeah, you are. Okay, all right. Until we get that mindset fixed, we struggle. And we get discouraged and we get tired and we just kind of, you know, next week we're going to have the Spurgeons here and, you know, Sunday through Friday he's going to be preaching. I'm going to be here. Some people may not be here. And it won't be because they weren't available. Their answer will be, well, I was just tired. I'm going to be honest. I don't like that.
Yeah, come on.
And not because you're not allowed to be tired. I don't like it because I think it's a poor excuse to not be at church. I just think it is. Say, I disagree. That's fine. You take it up with you and the Lord. That's how that works. I'm a Bible believer. So that's individual soul liberty. If you think that that's a good excuse, then you take it up with the Lord. If it's, you know, I've got to go to work, I got you. I got your back all the way on that. You got to work. That's... You couldn't get the time off, or you don't have that many vacation days, or you can't do, okay, I'm with you. Go to work. Got to feed your family. That's a different thing. I'm tired. Okay, well, might not be so good. It's not even part of my message. This is just extra right here, just so you know. I don't think that's a good reason. You say, why? Because the Lord told you to not forsake the assembling. Be faithful to the assembly. Be in church. Be here. When you can be here. And I think we live in a society today that would love to make excuses for everything. And I think it permeates into the church. when he's supposed to be paramount. I talked about that on Sunday, so I'm not going to re-preach that. The Lord's just looking for people to be faithful. Faithful to his word, faithful to prayer, faithful to witness, faithful to be in church, faithful to just what he asks them to do day in and day out. But sometimes the humdrum of doing the same thing over and over again gets a little weary, tiring, faint. Like, man, I'm just tired. I don't want to do it. Now, what's sad is that, and I'll make the equation because it's right there, is that you'll still wake up tomorrow and go to work. Yeah. And you'll be tired, and you'll still, and your answer is, well, I have to. Well, then your view's wrong. And I'm not meaning this to try to be mean tonight. It's just we quit on the things that are more important and leave behind the things that are more important to go ahead and hold on to the things that are less important.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. We'll find ways to do other things and leave God out of it, and we faint on the things that are supposed to be the paramount things. We get lax on some things because we know oftentimes that the Lord is going to be gracious to us and he's going to be merciful to us.
Yep, that's right.
And we presume upon the goodness of God.
Yep.
And so we let slide. We faint in our Bible reading and we faint in our prayer life and we faint in our witnessing and we faint in our church attendance and we faint in this and we faint. We let some things slide that we normally wouldn't let slide just because we go, I'm just too tired for that today. I just, or we're just discouraged. I'm not seeing big changes there. I'm not seeing big results. I'm not seeing, you realize that it's not numbers. We live in a world that wants numbers and wants results. Jeremiah is a failure in that metric. He failed. I don't know if he got anybody. I don't know if Baruch was just a paid scribe or if he got him. But if he got him, he got one. That was his convert. He didn't really get anybody else. Uh-huh. He'd be a failure. Things are not a success based upon numbers. Things are a success based upon, did I do what God asked me to do?
Yeah.
Your life is not measured by whether or not you did great things. Your life is measured on, did I do what God asked me to do? Salvation is not because I'm great. Salvation is because I did what God asked me to do. I trusted his son.
Amen.
And he saved me.
Yeah.
Every other area of the Christian life is the exact same way. It's, okay, am I doing what the Lord asked me to do or am I not? And if I'm not doing what the Lord asked me to do, whatever excuse that I've come up with to not do what God asked me to do is not a good excuse. It's not verifiable. He's not just going to go, oh, well, you know, okay. And certainly discouragement happens. I don't even come close to discounting discouragement. I've been discouraged, distressed, feeling pain, tired. We all feel that way. That's called life. Right? If you're breathing, you've been discouraged at some point. You know, you just, things didn't go your way. It wasn't quite the way you wanted it. It was difficult. I was reading an article, I don't know, a day or two ago. You all know I like the Yankees. There's a shortstop for the Yankees, Anthony Volpe. He was demoted back down to AAA. And he had, I think they have 72 hours to report in or whatever it is. And that was the schedule. He's got 3 days. And one of the coaches said, yeah, sometimes it takes guys 3 days to kind of get their mind right because they got shocked that they actually got sent back down. And they get basically his statement paraphrased was they're discouraged. And so either they're going to double up and get hard and work harder and try and get back to where they were, or they're so discouraged that they never put in the effort again. Because they feel like a failure. Well, Christian, you ever feel like that? Now, I'm not saying don't take a day. It'll take a couple of days. The Lord tells the disciples there after they put in all the effort and all the work and all the things and they've gone, and I don't even know if I'm going to preach my whole message. That's probably not even close. But he tells the disciples, come apart and rest a while. The Lord is all for some rest. He's not a guy, he's not slave driving us. That is not what I'm trying to say. He's not like, get in there, and he's beating you with the whip and telling you to keep rolling and to keep going. All right, teenagers, by the way, you're welcome. I saved you from Christian Sherman, all right, and Brother Larry. All right, when y'all had the pig noses, his answer was, we should get pool noodles and have the kids hit them with the pool noodles to go faster. And my answer was, no. Mostly because the teenagers have siblings. And I know the siblings would take advantage of that situation right there. God's not a taskmaster beating on us, right? To get us to do more and do more and you're not doing enough. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the everyday, the normal. These guys are wandering around and it's just the everyday stuff. The stuff we know to do, the stuff we're supposed to do. This is not the above and beyond. This is not the putting out the effort for the extra mile and going crazy. This is just the normal run-of-the-mill day. And their answer is, I am tired of this. The Bible says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, Proverbs 24:10, thy strength is small. And God says, hey, I want you to be strengthened with all might.
Amen.
Colossians 1, he says that we're supposed to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. He wants to give us his strength. When I'm weak, then I'm strong because I've got his power. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Right? The goal is I can read and I can pray. And yes, some days it feels like it's work and it's labor and it's the grind and it's, I mean, but the truth is, if you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You need to keep pressing on. But really the question comes, well, why should I? Isn't that really the reason? We want a reason to do what we do. We want, what makes it worth it? Because some days, you know what we feel like? I want to quit because it really doesn't matter if I'm here or I'm not here. So let's go, Lord, in prayer. We're going to look at, I wanted to look at four things. We're going to look at a couple of these tonight, and we'll maybe recap a couple things and we'll go. Father, we thank you for the night. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercies. I thank you, Lord, that the days that we're tired and we're faint and we're just feeling it, that, Lord, you're right there with us still and you're ready to work with us and help us. And, Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, just be encouraged that, Lord, we'll get a great time of rest. Lord, as long as we're doing what we're supposed to do today, Father, you'll tell us when to come apart and to rest a while and to get some rest and to relax. But, Father, you sent them right back to work when you were done. Lord, I pray once again you'd bless us tonight. Help us to see that it's not a good time to quit. We just finish our course with joy. Lord, help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn over to 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 1, Paul says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and our servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We keep reading. I won't for the sake of time tonight, but you say, what do we have? We have a ministry. You've got people that you're dealing with, that you've told about the Lord. One of the most discouraging things that you can find is to have somebody show up to church that somebody invited, and they go, oh, where's so-and-so? And you're like, they're not here. Oh, I thought they were going to be here today. And you don't even know that they weren't going to be here today, and you have no explanation for why they're not here. Oh, if you get the explanation, you're like, oh, they're sick, you know, they can't be here. Oh, they had a family thing. Oh, they're out of town, they're on vacation, you know. If you have no idea where they are, your answer is just kind of like, super awkward. I had somebody today, I was getting my hair cut, and the guy cutting my hair, he knows some of the guys from the church. He's, you know, he knows I'm the pastor, and I've witnessed to him. I've tried to get him to church, just one of the guys there. And he asked me about somebody who used to come here. They haven't been here in, I don't even know how long. It's been a while since they'd been here. But he knows them, and he says, hey, does so-and-so still go to your church? And I said, no, sadly, haven't seen him in a while. And he goes, oh, I see him every month. He's in here getting his hair cut. I said, my reply was this, well, tell him his pastor misses him. So why would you tell him to do that? Because could you imagine sitting in a barber chair and having your barber cutting your hair go, hey, by the way, your pastor was in here getting his hair cut. He says he misses you because he hadn't seen you in a while. Ooh, right? I think that would feel like a nuke right there. Just completely make you melt. That's what I... And so I said, all right, Lord, I guess you opened the door. He remembered that that guy goes to my church, and he hadn't gone to our church in probably 2-3 years. I've reached out to them before. I've tried to have them come back. I've tried. Say, what's the... Could you imagine having somebody show up that you invited the week after you decide you're done coming to church and reading your Bible and praying and witnessing? Could you imagine they finally showed up to church and they look around and say, well, if it wasn't worth it to them to stay, I guess this thing's not real. Could you imagine everybody you've ever witnessed to, they finally turn around and they say, hey, you know, I'd love to talk to you about that. And you go, I don't even believe in that anymore. I don't go. Yeah, but I mean, I'm not quitting on everything. I'd still believe in Jesus. Okay, but you do realize that when you start losing on one spot, you're going to lose on others. They just slowly move away. All the pieces just slowly go. You know, the person who decides, well, you know, it's not worth it to come to prayer meeting on Wednesday, is the guy who eventually will say, well, it's not worth it to be there early on Sunday school. And then they'll say, well, why am I going twice on Sundays? Isn't Sunday morning enough? And then eventually it is, well, I can listen online. And then why do I even have to listen? It's just the progression.
That's right.
Well, I mean, I don't have to read my Bible every day. I'll just pick it up when I feel like it. I mean, if I pray at meal times, that'll work. And eventually you're not doing any of it. Well, I'll witness to somebody when it's easy, when it's convenient. Okay, well, then you'll never witness.
That's right.
When is it really all that easy and convenient? Most of the time, it's not. It's awkward for you, awkward for them. Nobody likes it until it gets going. But until it, okay. But your ministry is all about, you realize 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, we have the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling a lost world to Jesus Christ, to God who saves them. That's our ministry. Okay, well, if you have any ministry, if you have any outreach before, you can't quit now. Why would you quit now? Well, yeah, but nobody's gotten saved yet. Okay, that last word right there is pretty important, yet. You just keep talking. Just keep trying. God's the one who gives the increase. God's the one who provides. God's the one who does all of that. Your job is not to worry about the numbers. Your job is to worry about what am I doing?
Amen.
And am I pleasing Him?
Yeah.
In fact, the second reason we have the work that we're doing, the ministry that we have, but he ends this chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He ends it with verse number 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There's ultimately, verse 15, it's all about the glory of God. The ministry that we have brings folks to Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they get to give God glory, and you get to give God glory. And when you obey Him and you're doing what He asked for, you're giving Him glory. The worship of God is what our entire lives are about. Whether man realizes our job is Revelation 4:11, right? Thou art worthy, O Lord, receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. For Thy pleasure they are and were created. God made us to please Him, to worship, give Him glory and praise and honor. All of those things go to His glory, and our job is to give Him glory. Okay, quitters aren't going to give Him glory.
Right.
You want to give Him glory? Well, then you're going to have to keep going. You say, what gives Him glory? The mundane. The day in and the day out. Just being faithful to what He asked you to do. Say, it's nothing spectacular. Okay, yeah, but it gets the job done. It gets the job done. We live in a day right now where everybody wants it to be flashy and showy and crazy and all over the place. And God's like, I don't need it flashy and showy and crazy. I just need you to do the normal.
Amen.
Question. Husbands or wives, I don't care which one. If your spouse is completely inconsistent with all of their behavior, doesn't that drive you nuts? If they're consistent in their behavior and you come home and it's peaceful consistency, it's amazing, isn't it? When everything's off, you know everything's off because it's not the normal, right? But if every day is a roller coaster, that's not fun. You know what to expect. You know what you're doing. You know how it's going. That is why the Lord looks at you and He says, all I want you to do is be consistent.
Amen.
I want to consist. You know why? He tells us, yes, He tells us to run a race, to run with patience the race that's set before us. But most references about the Christian life are not about running. They're walking.
Yeah.
We walk by faith and not by sight. He walks with me. We walk in the light as He is in the light so we can have fellowship one with another. It's walking. Walking is not racing down the road. Walking is just a slow, consistent pace.
Amen.
Christian life is walking. Every time, yeah, sure, you might get a spot where you're running and you're doing something and things are crazy and it's busier and you're working. And after the run, I guarantee you know what He'll say? Come apart and rest a while. And then we'll get up and we'll start walking. Walk. A consistent walk with Jesus Christ. That's what He's asking for. We'll give Him glory. Because your walk will be all about Him. I'll give you the last two just because I don't want to make this a two-part message that I have no idea when I'll ever preach. Galatians chapter 6. You can write it down, verses 7 to 10. You know what you'll find? You'll find rewards for what we're doing.
Amen.
There are rewards. They're heavenly rewards. They're not temporal rewards. They're spiritual rewards. We're likened to Abraham and the spiritual seed of Abraham. Abraham gets physical earthly promises, the physical seed. The Jews, Israel, has physical promises that they will receive. You and I have spiritual promises that we will receive. But the children of Israel, the ones that quit, don't receive promises. They died in the wilderness. They didn't believe him. But the children of Israel who believe him get the promises. That's always how it is. Christian, then you got to believe him. That yeah, you are going to get rewarded. And if for nothing else, you know what you can say? You can say, hey, guess what? The Lord's going to reward me for what I'm doing. I can endure a little hardness and get my reward. Yeah, today may be a little rough today. But every day is not the rough day. And then lastly, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13. We have a cloud of witnesses. There's witnesses around us, people watching you. There's people watching you all the time. A lost world's watching you. Other Christians are watching you. Those who've gone on before, it seems as if they're watching us. We're Hebrews, right? Hebrews chapter 12. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience that is set before us. Looking onto Jesus. We've got an entire audience watching us. You know, sometimes the thing that'll keep you from failing is knowing that somebody's watching. Isn't it? Why is it that when someone goes to steal something, they look around to make sure nobody can see them? Well, because they know they're going to do it. And if somebody's watching, they're not going to do it. Okay, well, somebody's watching. And yeah, the Lord's watching, right? We can all go back to the Lord's watching. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, both in the evil. I'm not going to do it. Somebody's watching you. You've told them about Jesus Christ. You've told them you're a Christian. You've told them that you're saved. You've told them. And you know what they're doing? They're like, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? When problems come, when troubles come, when distresses come, how are you handling that? Is God still real to you? Is it real enough that when you get into trouble, you're going to go see the Lord? Or are you just going to quit because you don't like it? Those are the things they look at. How we handle our troubles, saved and lost alike, they're all watching. Okay, if thou faint in a day of adversity, thy strength is small. God wants us to keep going.
Amen.
And I'll tell you this, I'm done. I'll tell you this. You and I don't think we have very long before a trumpet's going to sound. I'd hate to quit now and then hear one. I mean, we're so close to the end. I feel sorry for Laodicea. I feel sorry for the Laodicean Christians that live like Laodicea. Not cold, not hot, not helping anybody, not doing anything they should be doing, just kind of milling along the way, and you know what? They're just murmuring and complaining. They're living like that. And the sad truth is, a trumpet's going to sound. They're going to be it. It's going to be the end. A trumpet's going to sound. He's going to say, come up hither, and they're going to stand before the one that they didn't really care about. They're completely apathetic about. They said, it's not really worth it. And they just quit. They half-hearted everything. Nothing really mattered. I hope that's not us. I hope we finish well. All right. Father, thank you for the night. I pray you would bless us, keep us safe as we go. I pray this was not exactly what I was thinking when I started this, but Lord, I pray that it was a blessing and a help and an encouragement. Father, we are getting close to the last days of absolutely just down to a few, maybe a few years at the most. And then you're going to sound a trumpet. I pray we just stand, just having done all to stand in an evil day. Father, bless us, encourage us, and strengthen us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Have a good night.